I will be doing my very best each day to get the best out of those around me, and I take great pride in leading this country.
One minute I've got tears coming down my face, and then I'm like, oh my god, this is it. Monster had taken over me, and it was pure elation.
It was a real honour to be asked to be assistant coach for Sirens. It's something I take very, very seriously, and I really hope that I can have a big impact.
I'd like to think that I'm a vital part of this team, but I'm not the team, and I understand that.
A huge thank you to the Netball Show. You really have helped England Netball take our message to new audiences.
It's an Netball Show with Mizuno. Time now to hear from Lucy Harris, who's been telling me a bit more about the Peaks Challenge.
Yeah, so it's scout funding. So it's kind of this new way that athletes can fund their ambitions. Essentially, people and fans and scouts can log on to their website, see all the athletes that Peaks represent, and can help fund their ambitions and be a part of their journey into making them bigger and better athletes, essentially. So Peaks ran this kind of opening challenge, which was the most brutal workout in lockdown challenge. So essentially, you just had to go and video a really brutal workout. And I thought, well, that's fantastic because I live in Yorkshire. So there's so many hills and mountains and things to climb and just some awesome views and things. So my boyfriend and I went out to Malham Cove, which is this amazing geological feature in the middle of the Yorkshire Dales. And we packed a rucksack of 10 kilograms worth of mayonnaise, Marmite, beans, and then basically just ran up to the top, did a little workout at the top, videoed it all, edited it all together, and then sent it into Peaks, who then put it all up on their website for people to vote on. And then whoever gets the most votes, whichever athlete in a women's and a men's category, will get some prize money. And then I think second place and third place get a little bit like less prize money and so on. So it's just a really good opportunity, really.
We saw you packing that backpack. How do we know that it wasn't then edited so that it looked full, but it was maybe just cotton inside?
Well, I think if you ask my boyfriend, he'd probably be able to tell you how much I complained the whole way up.
Why did you decide to do it? That money was nice, but was it also about just keeping that fitness up in this downtime that we've had?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important in like kind of pre-season to get that nice base of cardio fitness, because we don't really get the opportunity to really build on that within the season and within pre-season, especially as netballers. We're really much more focused on that kind of small, quick movement and explosive stuff. So having that really nice base cardio by doing like longer runs, maybe with some weights on your back, is just a really nice way of preparing your body pre-season. So yeah, that was kind of the aim of just getting out there, especially around the Yorkshire Dales, and doing a few runs and things. But obviously a little bit of money to help with the costs of trying to be a netballer. also just is just amazing. So yeah, great opportunity.
And maybe we don't really notice that side of things, but even if that is the win and that small little amount of money, it'll make a bit of a difference.
Yeah, no, it really does. And I think like even just like traveling, people don't realize, like one of my teammates spent I think $3,000 just traveling in this small season we have had from her home to training. So it's a really difficult kind of position to be in. You want to really do as much as you can for your sport and to be really ambitious, but at the same time you've got to have some form of career and some form of way to get money, especially when you're coming through the ranks and you're not able to get a contract. So you know, it is really important that we kind of do shed a bit more of a light on the cost of trying to be a female athlete or an athlete in general when you're not a footballer or something. Yeah. So yeah, I think it is important.
How has it been in lockdown for you personally? I mean, has it been tricky not having the access to the gyms and that kind of thing?
I think gym wise I'm actually okay. My boyfriend pretty much as soon as lockdown was announced got straight on Amazon and bought every single piece of gym equipment he could get his hands on, and we converted his garage into a gym. So the gym's actually not been too bad. I think personally I've struggled a bit more like mentally to kind of stay in the game, especially when we kind of thought our season might continue and then it wasn't, and then it was, kind of felt quite up and down in terms of motivation. Sometimes I'd be on Zoom with some of the netball girls and be like, yeah, no, I need to get really, really fit because we're going to go and we're going to smash the rest of the season. And other times I'd get off the Zoom and be like, oh, nothing's going to happen. Why are we bothering? You know, I've got no one here competing with me. I've not got Melissa breathing down my neck. I think it's quite hard to keep that motivation on a really kind of high level, which it would be in the season. So I felt a bit more up and down in terms of getting out there and making sure I'm training well, but also making sure I'm looking after myself and my mental wellness. So I think that's been a bit difficult. And also, I think with a lot of downtime, you know, you get out of that routine. Like, I know I'm a real routine advocate. So I have like a morning routine and I have a weekly routine. And it really just helps me be really focused in training and for games as well. But without that routine, you're kind of sat there like, oh God, overthinking everything. yeah. So then I was like, oh, okay, I need to like figure out how I'm going to create a bit more of a routine. And me and my boyfriend got this big whiteboard and put like all of our different sessions in and what we were going to achieve each day. So that was really important. And I also think what was also helped me a lot was I changed a lot of who I followed on my social media. So I had a lot of kind of models and pop Celebs. Stars on my on my Instagram, exactly. People from Love Island and things, which was just not healthy to be looking at. So I kind of changed all that up, and I'm now following Katie Taylor and Lindsay Vonn and just some like really inspiring women who are, you know, who are also dealing with lockdown in their own way, but it's much more constructive and inspiring, and again, kind of helps you with that motivation. So that's what lockdown's been for me.
So you haven't really had a chance to some extent to experience that or where's it gone kind of feeling. And I'll tell you what, you might have missed though, gaps in general conversation where Nia would have butted in with a quip.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously you do miss the girls. I've been in contact with a lot of them. And I get phone calls from Nia a fair bit. So that's great. But yeah, it's kind of sad that we're not all like amongst one another. But I mean, over the kind of off season, we do tend to have that downtime away from each other anyway. I think it's just going to be kind of towards July, August, it's going to be even worse because normally that would be when we would get back in together training off the normal off season. But actually, we're just going to have such a much longer off season. We're going to have to just make sure maybe we make that extra effort to be in contact with one another.
Netball family's already done you pretty well. I had a quick look this morning. How can we help you towards this funding?
Just get online and vote. So it's not, it takes 2 minutes. You literally just have to put your email in. You get an activation code and you pop that in as well. So yeah, it does take 2 minutes. I think the winner will get about €700 or something. So that would just go so far for me towards the cost of kit and the cost of petrol. So yeah, I mean, that's all it is. It's not too long or arduous. So that's, and sharing it online as well. I've got my video up on my Instagram, so anyone can look at it and hopefully get a little bit inspired by it to get out to Yorkshire at least, or maybe just to get kind of active. So if you could share the video as well, that'd be fantastic.
That's before the 12th of July, so we've got a bit of time to get the votes in. Challenge.peaks.com.
Yeah.
You and Rosie have been pretty busy this week because you spoke as part of the Grammar School of Leeds, Be Inspired to Excel.
Yeah.
What was that like? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was really great to get back in contact with our old PE teachers who kind of inspired us to get going with sport in the first place. They've all just been so supportive of kind of our life after school as well. It wasn't kind of like a drop us as soon as we left situation. They've always been in contact and always been like super proud of how we've been getting on. So that's just great to kind of hear and lovely to give back and hopefully inspire the next generation of people coming through the grammar school.
Do you want to introduce it? I think Rosie's first answer was, what were some of her first memories? So you can go ahead.
I think it was the green gym knickers we used to have to wear. They were awful. They were like, it's kind of what it says on the tin, those like really thick cotton gym knickers with a bright white top. They were disgusting. But I think we all looked quite cute because we were all very small and we just run around the little kind of playing field below the school before it got a cool new track. it was a really funny interview, and thank God we don't have to wear those gym knickers anymore.
Well, the nice thing is, let's hear about yours and Rosie's inspired to excel story?
For me, I have to say my first sporting memory is probably the Rose Court and Ford House sports days on the field. And I think I just vividly remember being quite mortified that my mum took part in the parents' race. but also, yeah, just that feeling of coming away with lots of medals and stickers. They're my first sporting memories, I have to say.
I think... yeah, probably saying those green gym knickers. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
Awful. Yes. And we did like little exercise classes in like the wooden floored Rose Court assembly room. And then we like, ended up in GSAL, which has the most insane facilities. And yeah, that's probably the kind of the benchmark where we were originated all of our passion for sport and just, yeah, probably back then.
Right, well, I'm not going to talk about the green knickers, but... I want to know, before Mrs. Nash asks you her first question, did your mum win the parents' race?
Oh, she's so competitive. She's like one of those really secretly competitive people. Like she pretends it's my dad, but it's actually her. I reckon she would have won.
Yeah, I back my mum. I think she would have won.
I think she probably won. I think she would.
Let's go with that.
I'd like to say I think your mum probably won as well.
Yeah.
What I was going to say, and I do remember the green knickers back at Leeds Girls, so yes, yeah, traumatised by those two.
Yeah.
My question is, how did you first get into netball, and when did you realise that you could have potential in this profession?
So I definitely first got involved in netball at school. I didn't think, I wasn't any good really when I first got involved. I was more swaying towards hockey initially. So I just... I think I picked it up at school. I think I was in the B team or the C team to begin with, and then like slowly started getting better. I worked really hard at all the practices, stayed after school and practiced. And then I think it was Mrs. Hinton who actually saw that there was a bit of potential there and boosted me up into the A team. And then through that, I went into satellite and county and just like worked my way up that way. But really gradually, I really wasn't a natural at all. And then I'd say... Mrs. Johnson obviously did an amazing job at like trying to spur us on as well.
She hated us all three.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'd say Miss Kirk as well. I have a very vivid memory of when Miss Kirk said, I don't know who she was talking to, but she said, "Oh, Rosie's going to play for England." And I think in a year down the line, I went in and played for England. So having like sort of moments like that and people believing in you, that almost helped me believe in myself that I could have made it. But it wasn't an initial natural thing or that I was naturally gifted at all.
I think for me it was we actually both started diving, so we know Yona like quite well because we started doing that, and that gave us quite a lot of that kind of like athletic background. And then for me it was, I'm just like chronically competitive. It's a disease or something, because I went into my netball sessions at school and it's like school netball. And I was getting really, really wound up that these two girls, Hattie Grant and Anissa Kabakamara, were like ahead of me. And they were in satellite and I was like, hell, I should be in satellite. I need to be there. So then I got there, and then when I got there, there were some girls that were in county and I was like, well, I'm better than them, I need to be there. And it's basically just been a massive accident and I've ended up in the Super League. But it's just like snowballed from just being really competitive and annoyed. I'm just jealous.
Yeah, massive accidents happen like that, don't they, when you're really good?
Yeah, so that's kind of that's where I got to where I was essentially.
Yeah.
And then it's just really lucky that we've kind of hit netball at the time where it's kind of transitioning into that more semi-professional area. And because I think a few years before it just wouldn't have been possible, but now we are getting paid a wage, we've got contracts, we've got like a players association, so all those things are starting to build, and netball starting to build as a sport and as a profession as well, so that's really good.
And then what was your time like before lockdown? What was a typical day like for you?
So before lockdown, so it's a bit of a long story, but I took a year out of netball last year and focused on triathlon. So a lot of my training's been based around triathlon. So I'd sort of wake up when I was working with the company before furlough leave. I'd wake up in the morning, like a Monday morning at about 5 a.m, do a training session, do a full day of work, and then get back and do some more triathlon training. Just before lockdown, I did a triathlon in Spain. So all of my time up until that was geared purely towards triathlon training. So a typical day would be, like I said, trying to fit in two training sessions a day and also trying to fit a full day of work in as well. So That's what a typical day would look like for me. And yeah, so just quite busy, not much chill time. So it's been a strange adjustment to make, to suddenly go from doing ridiculous amounts to doing sort of nothing, because I've been put on furlough leave at the moment. So I'm just still concentrating on my training, and I suppose it's good because it's given me more time to focus on training and then have a bit more time to recover throughout the day as well. So strange adjustment, but you just got to deal with what comes your way, I suppose.
I think you've probably got that structure, the kind of two training sessions a day, and that you're working around that from netball, because that's what mine is like when I'm contracted. So yeah, in general, it kind of be like a morning session and evening session. But if I've got like a couple of evening sessions, like a strength and then a netball on court, then I'll just kind of leave the morning and just try and relax. But yeah, I think like netball is just one of those sports that obviously, given it's semi-professional at the moment and some girls aren't really getting paid very much, they've got to have the flexibility for you to go off and earn a living or be a mum or whatever, and then come in and train kind of and be able to fit your training around that. So in that sense, netball is really flexible. And I think we've learned to be very flexible because of that. Because everyone's doing everything at any one time in a team of 15. So you've got to make sure that you're kind of all on the same page with that. So yeah, I think that's probably two sessions a day, maybe one rest day if stuff's quite tough. But even on the rest day, I'd be doing yoga or walking or something.
That's the rest. Yeah, sounds like a good rest.
Yeah, active rest, we call it.
Yeah. Go on, sorry.
Sorry, go on.
No cut.
Tips for our students who are sort of starting to train and trying to maintain a training program coming out of lockdown?
It's tough. Yeah, well, it is really tough, and definitely motivation comes in waves for sure. Like some days you wake up and you feel like you can do everything, balance all your different commitments, and then other days you wake up and you don't really feel like doing much. But
you always say to me, when the motivation train comes, get on it.
Yeah, definitely. Make the most of the motivation train, for sure. But I mean, I have to say to like keep a fairly consistent level of training and motivation. I try and create a morning routine and just get in, and you do the same thing. Yeah. And I think that comes from our dad as well. He's very rigid on his morning routine. But it seriously does help me have a reason to get up, get out of bed and get moving. And then sort of just make sure that I try and train at similar times every day as well. So for example, on Tuesday, I always leave my training until the evening. And then other days I tend to like, say Wednesday, I normally do a session at 11 o'clock in the morning. And for some reason, it just helps me think that, oh, this is the time I train, rather than sort of waking up, like not really knowing when I'm going to train and things like that. So yeah, I'd say morning routine and having set times when you train. I think they're my two ways I've tried to manage and deal with lockdown.
Yeah, I'm probably the same. My boyfriend and I have created a whiteboard of like our days. So we've got like Monday, Tuesday all the way through, and then what targets we have to hit that day. So if it's like just one S&C session and a yoga, then that's fine. Or if it's like a run and score or whatever. So, and it's really satisfying ticking off those days as well. Quite demoralizing when you have to rub it all off on Monday though.
Start again.
Yeah, but then I think also one of the issues I've found in lockdown is that you go from having this kind of quite established routine and also having like all these players breathing down your neck. Like my coach is always talking about her size 10s and my bum basically. So I think it's really important to kind of, you know, get that motivation and get that routine back. So like Rosie says, with that morning routine, but then also in all that down like dead time, which we all have a lot more of these days, make sure that it's not filled with kind of negative stuff. So I think people are spending a lot more time on social media. So making sure that you fill your social media with inspirational figures. So especially for girls wanting to be netballers, following all the Aussie netballers and the Kiwis who are actually their leagues restarting soon. I follow Lindsay Vonn, who's amazing, Katie Taylor, like having all those kind of inspirational role models on your social media rather than people, maybe like supermodels who aren't going to make you feel great about yourself. Having those kinds of people on like seeing that content all the time is much more motivating than
than the other stuff.
No, definitely, yeah.
It's like the radiators and the drains.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
The radiators.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but it's great. It's great to see you two on television as well, though, with matches and all that. That's quite. You say it's quite strange for us to see you. That's absolutely amazing. So you should consider yourselves as inspirational leaders as well for people and for definitely for our kids. But you know, you're touching on kind of like the mental health side of things there as well. And of course, it's a massive issue in society at the moment. Participation in physical activity is obviously recognised as, you know, a help towards, you know, our well-being. How do you see schools developing this and the benefits to students as far as well-being is concerned?
So just to staying active, which can help your well-being.
Yeah, yeah. So we know that ourselves in society, we know that helping children to stay active helps with their well-being. What advice would you give to our students as far as their well-being is concerned and how to stay active?
Yeah, so I do a few things to keep on top of my well-being in general. So I do quite a lot of meditation. So even if it's just like 5-10 minutes a day, it just helps me like just get a bit calm. And that can be through yoga. It can be through, I use an app called the Calm app. And that's literally just like part of my morning routine, like I said. And every morning I wake up and do 5-10 minutes of meditation. It just sort of helps me just like calm my nerves, just relax if I'm sort of stressed about what's to come. And I think there's a lot of uncertainty at the moment. So it is that just level of just like calm and just like being like in the moment is what that helps me with. And then in terms of staying active, I use exercise and I always have used exercise as a release. So if I've ever had a stressful day at work, I would much rather go out and go for a quick jog or walk, or even if it like can just be to go and play tennis or just getting some headspace. Mm-hmm. That really helps me deal with everyday life. And I think having that as a motivation, rather than, it doesn't necessarily have to always be about performing and always be about hitting personal best. It can just be that, just getting out and just having a breath and a moment for yourself as well. Because it is sort of unprecedented times at the moment. And I think there's no right or wrong way of doing it. No one's ever done lockdown before. So I think there's just, you have to have that level of like, just wait and just be kind to yourself in a way that's, it's not always about hitting PBs and it's not always about, what's to come. It can literally just be about just having a bit of fun with your friends as well.
Yeah. I think the athletes as well have a tendency to be a little bit obsessive. Mm. I know I definitely do.
Yeah.
So I think it's also just really important to have like other things outside of your sport that you're interested in and that you kind of, again, that you can use that as a release from your sport as well. Because although activity is definitely a release from like work can also be that release from like performance sport if that's the route that people wanted to go down. So I definitely say, and I think GSL does a really good job of this, is keeping like a lot of options open and opening avenues for different interests as well as sport. So having a kind of wide variety of stuff that you can go to whenever you're feeling a little bit stressed about one thing or the other, I think is always useful.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to ask, sort of touching on that, really, you both come through, when you were talking about the obsession and what have you, both come through GSAL, and I just wonder whether there's been any sibling rivalry between you as the years have gone on that have sort of spurred you on to sort of achieve more highly.
What do you think?
I mean, there's always a level of sibling rivalry, I think. Yeah. And I think the fact that we sort of, I mean, luckily at school we didn't play the same position, because it could have been a lot worse. Luckily at school, Lucy, you were more of a goal attack shooter, yeah, weren't you? And I was always centre court and more of a defensive player. So I think in that retrospect, it wasn't a direct competition or comparison. Mm. But there was always like, I always wanted to live up to what Lucy was doing within netball, and
she was always chomping at my heels. So I'm always like,
yeah. And I think there's always a level like between us three sisters. I mean,
yeah,
one time we did try, like, we don't really train together anymore because it didn't really work out.
we can't run on treadmills next to one another because we'll like look over at the speed and like just slyly bump it up. And yeah, then the other one, and at one point Alex Kirk, she she was like, oh, we're going to just do 1K. It was just a silly challenge, wasn't it? Because it was 1K as fast as you could on a treadmill. And by the end of it, she was like trying to catch me or Rosie because she thought one of us was going to fly off the treadmill and we're both banging it to make it go faster.
Yeah, I think Lucy won by 0.1
by
second.
By a hair. And probably because I only thought to bump it up a bit sooner.
But yeah, no, there's like me, Molly, Lucy... one time we did try and go for a run as well in when we were on holiday and it didn't, I think it ended up in tears.
I think now we're just a lot more, like we use it to our advantage more than anything. So like when I like see you on court or like we meet each other in a grand final, I think it's more like, I just feel it's like a privilege to be there. Like not only am I here on this court, like in this awesome experience, but I'm in front of like 30,000 people. I'm here with my sister. Like that's just awesome. So yeah, I think we have like event. We've kind of narrowed and focused it down to something that helps us.
Rather than
something that kind of makes us cry.
Yeah, and
it's great support, isn't it?
Yeah, and I suppose it's never ever in a negative way. So I suppose the competition's always just to spur each other on. But if you were to be playing, I sometimes can't even watch Lucy play because I want her to do so well, and I'm so worried about her making a mistake. I'm like, I can't watch. So I think it's like. It spurs on positive things as well as it being slightly irritating on holiday when you're trying to go on a family run.
And Rosie, when you were injured, I mean, you turned to triathlon, and I'm just wondering what made you choose triathlon, and how can you see the future of triathlon as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, so for me, I'd had a challenging year, just generally at university. I was trying to balance a lot, and I just needed a bit of perspective and some time away from netball. And a lot of players do it, just take a year out and just sort of refocus and get fitter and build. And I just, to be quite honest, wanted to pick something that was completely different. I've always quite enjoyed swimming, running, and I picked up a bit of cycling when I was on holiday, and I just seemed to enjoy it. So my uncle also inspired me to give a triathlon a go, and I did one, and I just absolutely loved it. I loved the atmosphere, and I did the one in Roundhay in Leeds, and I just almost threw myself into it. I was on a really fourth-hand bike. It was awful. I didn't even know, obviously, where to start, but I sort of threw myself into it. I was wearing a wetsuit that filled up with water, and it wasn't the best experience of my life, but I really enjoyed it. And then I just thought I'd focus on that for a year and just almost just give myself a bit of space, and I always knew I wanted to keep training and keep fit, and it was just a good way to do that. I ended up really, this is completely through luck, qualifying for the age group Great British Championships in Spain, and that was just this March that's gone. So I was training quite hard for that, and always was training down at Leeds Carnegie as well on the track and doing lots of fitness related sessions, and not always the nicest training to do, but I quite enjoy keeping health and fit and healthy and fit. So I think that was it was an amazing experience, but I think it's probably
I think you'll go back to
I think it'll be something that I go back to in the future, and I've definitely got my eyes set on netball for now anyway.
That's good.
I was going to say, focusing back on when you first started school and you were trying out all those different sports, it just shows that you were able to turn your hand to lots of different things.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. And I think GSAL definitely gave me that grounding that I was entered into swimming galas. I was playing tennis at the school and like just doing so many different things and going down different avenues. It definitely helps with almost having those transferable skills.
Yeah. And Lucy, how have you found playing in the Super League?
So I've played in Super League for 5 years now. So I feel like I'm getting, you know, when you used to be the real young gun, and now that all these other young guns coming through, and I'm like, hang on, that's me. But I think it's been I've really enjoyed the journey, and it's been a really big learning curve for me, especially transitioning into that kind of higher age group where you're perfectly, people within their rights to bully you off the court, and you're going to have to grow a bit of kind of bottle and get in the gym and start lifting some weights, and you can't just rely on that kind of like natural flair or ability. You really have to put in the groundwork. And then it's just been brilliant that the netball, like I say, the netball's kind of grown whilst I've been in the Super League. So every year my contracts are being worth more and I feel like my voice is being heard more as a player. So it's been an amazing journey and I think it's such an exciting kind of atmosphere to be in right now. And just seeing all the kind of young girls getting involved. And I think we were looking at it earlier. I think it was like after the Commonwealth Gold that England won, 130,000 new signups to netball, back to netball, and things happened across the UK, which is just insane. So it's just so awesome to be a part of it, really.
Yeah.
And I did say at the start, probably just before we started recording, that I wouldn't mention the grand final Wasps against Loughborough. But I was just wondering, twice, but I was just wondering, what were you thinking? I mean, I know you'd be in the zone of playing the game, but what were you thinking about your family whilst they were watching the both of you on opposite teams?
I think they were in Italy.
Yeah, I do think they're watching.
I think they just thought we'll leave them to it, and then they just went. But yeah, no, it was. I think it's great. And you're so in that environment. And you're in the changing room, and everyone has their different things. Like, I have no idea what Loughborough did prior to the finals, but the Wasps thing was kind of so specific to us, and it's that they're your family at that point in time. So as much as like, I'm willing Rosie to like smash it and do really well, I'm kind of in that zone of that's my family. And then I think you're at the same
exactly, like, you're almost like you're committed to that
moment
at that point
yeah.
in time. But I think there was one moment when we were playing, we went on against each other in Fast Five
and tapped a thigh.
I think and I almost like that was a moment, but I almost forgot that I was playing against my sister. I have to say you just sort of playing
that ball. Excellent. And would you say that these moments you're talking about now are your proudest or best moments? Are they, you know, or was it something when you were younger, or, you know, what would you say?
I have to say, coming down to breakfast in my gold medal was quite a good moment.
No.
We did win Fast Five though, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have them. I always have a gold medal. Anyway, yeah, well, what was the question again? Sorry.
It was the
breakfast. What's your proudest or best moment?
Yeah, I think that I have to say winning nationals twice was, they're both really, really special moments, both for different reasons. I think, yeah, winning netball nationals has to be up there with one of my best sporting memories I've ever had.
Winning netball nationals for the first time. It was also a really special moment for me. I think that was the first time I genuinely thought, like, this is just awesome. I want to do this forever. And it's quite difficult as an athlete. You only have a few of those moments. In a career that spans 10 years, you could have three of those moments. So I just feel lucky that I've had several, and they've all just given me more and more motivation to keep going and keep achieving more. And I think when it gets to the point that those kinds of moments don't push me on to keep doing more, I think then it's probably time to step back. But currently I feel like I'm just, you know, it's a bit of an addiction. You just want to have the next one and the next one. So hopefully you've got a few more grand finals in the bag.
I'm sure you have.
And a few more gold medals each.
Sorry. I think my parents say it has to be each.
And we think you should share one of those gold medals, even though you do, Rosie, have a gold medal for the Fast Five as well. So, yes. Exactly. Plenty more years to come. So, we've come to the time whereby you've got your 10 rapid fire questions. And I suppose if Rosie answers first and then Lucy, so, and you, the only rule is you're really only allowed one word answers unless. Obviously, you need to answer with two words, but it's a quick fire. Is that okay? You ready?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay. So, first one is sporting hero.
Lindsey Vonn. Sorry, you were supposed to go first. Sorry.
You understand how she's quite competitive. I'd say Jess Furness.
Okay, that's fine. And number two, early bird or night owl?
Night owl.
Okay. Question three, winter fun or summer sun?
Summer sun.
Winter.
Oh.
Toughest opponent?
Ooh. Lucy. Rosie.
Good answers. Okay, Lucy, if not netball, what?
Climbing.
Okay. Rosie, if not, would you choose netball or triathlon?
Netball.
Pizza or burger?
Pizza. Burger.
Favourite pop group?
Arctic Monkeys.
Okay.
Oasis? I actually really like Oasis. The only thing that comes to my head.
I don't okay. Like describe yourself in one word.
Competitive. Oh, God. Happy.
Happy and competitive. Good. And describe each other in one word.
Competitive. Competitive.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Girls, thank you so much for joining us today. Yeah, that was a big test for you, wasn't it? A big test. Listen, so thank you so much for joining us today. You're so happy, you're so funny, and it's an absolute pleasure to speak to you. And I know we haven't spoken for a year or so, so that's really nice to be in contact with you again. And thank you to Kate as well for asking the questions as well. And listen, we wish you all the best in the future. We hope everything goes really well. And you must keep in touch with us and keep telling us that you are sharing these gold medals at every other grand final. And, yeah. And we'll keep watching you on television and wishing you all the best. Thanks, girls.
Thanks, Giselle, for giving us that all these opportunities, because it has come from that. So that's awesome.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. It's all the girls' staff are amazing, and they say that you're amazing too. So well done, everybody.
Oh, cool. Thanks very much. Thank you very much. Take care.
I will be doing my very best each day to get the best out of those around me, and I take great pride in leading this country.
One minute, I've got tears coming down my face, and then I'm like, oh my God, this is it. Monster had taken over me, and it was pure elation.
It was a real honour to be asked to be assistant coach for Sirens. It's something I take very, very seriously, and I really hope that I can have a big impact.
I'd like to think that I'm a vital part of this team, but I'm not the team, and I understand that.
A huge thank you to the Netball Show. You really have helped England Netball take our message to new audiences.